Researchers at Boston University say they have found the degenerative brain condition known as CTE in nearly 92% of former NFL players they have studied so far. It's part of their ongoing research. Dr. Ann McKee is director of the Boston University CTE Center, and she joins us on WCBS. Dr. McKee, your team has found CTE in 345 of 376 former players that you studied. That just seems staggering.
It is staggering. It's staggering every day for me. And the real tragedy here is these are just the numbers on the NFL players, where we're seeing an extremely high percentage. But we see it in high school players. We see it in college players. And we see it in young individuals in their 20s, sometimes even in their teenage years. These numbers represent a brain bank series. So there's selection bias. These are not numbers for the general population. They're not numbers for the NFL, per se. This is what we're seeing from families who arrange a brain donation because they want to see if their loved one's brain had CTE.
So it's not fair to say that 92% of all current and former NFL players have or will develop CTE.
Right. It's not.
As a scientist, is the only connection that you can draw between these very high numbers, is it the contact sport? Is it the football?
It is clear to me now, after having done hundreds of autopsies on these individuals and looking at the data from all over the world, it is very clear to me that CTE is caused by repetitive impacts to the head. We know that it has a dose response relationship, that the longer you play football, the higher your risk for CTE is. And we've even found that for every 2.6 years of football, you double your risk for CTE. So to me, that's very daunting and disturbing evidence.
How do these numbers compare with the general population, if you can make such a comparison?
So in general community populations, like the Framingham Heart Study, which is a brain bank that we run, or other community brain banks all over the world, Austria, Australia, CTE is very rare. The percentage in those banks runs from about 0 to 3%. And when we look at this brain bank that's filled with contact sport athletes, mostly football players, we see these really high percentages. And that, to me, indicates we have a problem, and we have a problem we need to address.
Should parents who are considering letting their children play, say, high school football, and then young adults who have a chance to play college football or even professional football, should this be a warning, a red flag?
It is clearly a warning, and they need to evaluate their love for football, their determination to play football, against the risks that they are taking. They are taking considerable risks, but an 18-year-old should be able to make a decision for themselves with regard to what behaviors they're willing to participate in. But to me, it's an unacceptable risk, and it's a risk that we absolutely need to do something about, not just for the players right now who may develop CTE, but for the players who are now suffering the effects of CTE that's devastating not just their lives, but their lives of their families.
Dr. McKee, I know that CTE can only be confirmed post-mortem, but can people exhibiting symptoms be treated? Can CTE progression be stopped?
We can treat the symptoms. We can bring the individuals in, manage and monitor their symptoms. We do have very effective treatments for the symptoms. We do not have a cure or a treatment directly for the disease. We cannot stop the progression. We cannot reverse the progression at this point. But we are trying very hard to develop markers for this disease, ways to diagnose the disease during life. And if we can do that, if we can identify people who have the disease and monitor their progression, we can try all sorts of therapies that may actually be beneficial in this disease.
All right, Dr. Ann McKee at the Boston University CTE Center. Dr. McKee, thank you for talking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.